Forever Dog. Race Chaser.
Hello.
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 And welcome back to Race Chaser
Classy,
a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What's yours?
Hi, I'm Willem.
Wow. Here we are.
So far away.
Here we are. We're somehow
sour candy.
Somehow we're closer and farther at the same time.
True. The delay's the same.
Yeah. We're not on Zoom today. We're in the same building.
Privilege.
We are broadcasting live from the MOM affiliate headquarters.
Yes. In downtown Studio City, in sunny Studio City, Los Angeles, California. The condors are flying high overhead.
I see them. They're soaring.
It's a grackle. It's not a condor.
Oh, what's up there?
First off, we have to thank you all so much for joining us on the Pictionary live stream.
Oh,
everyone who came out.
There
yes,
so
give yourselves
much
a round
money.
Of applause.
Thanks for the queen. Deep salutes.
Absolutely. We raised a ton of money for the Victory Fund. And if you missed it, you can check out the link in our Instagram bio at RaceChaserPod and the link to rent it on Vimeo, and all that rental money, all the money that we raised is going to be donated straight to the Victory Fund. So we thank you so much.
Last week, the girls competed in a baby mannequin child mini challenge pageant that birthed the Little Pound Cake.
Oh, yeah.
And then for a maxi challenge, they made
available for sale on AlaskaThunderfuck.com.
Then, for the Maxi Challenge, they made Kidster TV shows and Alaska Ruin drag and danced on its grave by being Buffalo Bill.
I am
in drag, Rue. After some BB action on the farm, the dolls walked in a pretty in pink runway where Detox took the grand prize and Monica and Coco had to lip sync for her life. Coco slayed the Pussycat Dolls hit song, got to stay another week also. Fuck you, Alyssa. Coco and Alyssa are the meme machine this season.
Totally.
Why it gotta be orange, back rolls. Like,
they keep giving.
They cemented the season, for
they
sure.
They keep us fed.
Yeah. Monica had to hit it, though. What was her lipstick message?
She said, love all you guys and remember, forever be a victor. I think she said, never be a victor. Because this was her saying. And love Monica Beverly Hills.
Oh. Maybe her boy name was Victor.
She was like... She explained this to me once. She was like, oh, if you're a victor, like, you're a boy, like, you're a man. Like, don't be a victor.
Oh, yeah. It was hard to see.
It's always obscured. And unless it says, keep looking at the stars, you'll never be one.
Yeah, right.
Then we, you know. But it's sad to see Monica go, but the show goes on.
Now, there was some speculation online after I said that Coco might have self-produced this episode for herself. After watching it and then seeing like her in the workroom after saying like, I'm just going to focus on me.
Yeah.
I don't think she did. I think that was just like she was in her head, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You know, you have to keep in mind there's a room full of producers who are trying to make you act a certain way.
Literally.
Trying to get you to react and pop off and get upset.
Oh,
so
man.
I think maybe that was happening too.
Mm-hmm. Vivian was super scared that she was going to be in the bottom so that she could have been in Coco's shoes, actually. But her look of relief when she was called safe, it was like a bye, very quick to the back of the stage. And
she said, I was so nervous. I almost pulled a Willem. I almost threw up. Gone but not forgotten.
They say Rupology's five time in this episode, too.
They do.
So it's like.
Which was your phrase that you coined on the season four reunion?
You were there. You were in the room where it happened.
The room where it happened. The room where it happened.
The rooms with the helix.
ding,
ding, ding.
Vivian thinks Roxy is annoying. Vivian is flat out blaming Roxy for overpowering her in the challenge.
When Michelle was specific saying, bring your energy up to meet Roxy. Michelle didn't say, bring your energy down, Roxy, to meet Vivian.
No.
So I think Vivian doesn't have a good point in this scenario.
Vivian says, Roxy is an attention whore. Excuse me.
What drag queen isn't an attention whore?
Excuse me. We are literally on a TV show where drag queens are competing for a sash.
And you're mad
crown.
That a girl's mad for some attention?
The whole name of reality television is getting attention. You have to do something to make the cameras train their gaze upon
Throw up. She should have thrown up. She would have gotten more screen time.
Yeah. I think she was also corseted to filth, which is part of the Willem formula.
Mm-hmm. Little corset, little indigestion.
Dairy at lunch.
Yeah.
Dairy on the union lunch. If it throws up, it shows up. If it throws up, it blows up. So right. this is how reality TV...
Honestly.
The next day, we get a video message from Mother RuPaul, and she says, hey, girls. So you think you can dance? Because America's next drag superstar needs to be one singular sensation.
Ding.
Girl, once you go Black Swan, ding, you never go back. Ru comes into the workroom, turning a look.
Yes.
She didn't shave her head over the weekend, clearly. And her hair has grown out.
Yeah. I embrace her embracing a more natural look.
Natural hairstyle. Yeah, she has like the huge afro hair.
Yeah, she's using Tracee Ellis Ross's pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
RuPaul, as a child, won the prize in school for having best afro.
Yeah.
And I think best dancer.
It's in his book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of them.
So I think that's why he was like, we're going to do a Soul Train thing. We're going to do a dancing thing as the mini challenge. And here we go.
I'm so sure. And the girls that are dancing, they've come to party this mini challenge. Coco.
Well, isn't there a table? They bring in a
table of
wigs.
Afro wigs, but a limited choice. Jinx gets the red one, so she could do a little like quiff back.
The front back. Yeah. Uh-huh. The front leave out.
Coco got the clown one, and I don't mind that clown one so much. I thought it was good.
She's still full. I think she padded too, which this was really, really fast.
They're in like boy clothes? Oh, you were there. Roxy has a blazer on, literally.
I think it was like 5 minute drag. Like it wasn't like getting a look. It was like you just put on a thing and go. I put on a sparkly shirt and sunglasses and a natural brown wig, which I thought looked really nice. My dad had hair like that at one point. It was a perm, but
would you wear like it? Would you still wear it?
Would I wear it right now?
Yeah.
Only if it was a Hairography music video.
Was that the brown one you wore to Australia where you had it like, it was like a long, it looked like a long men's wig. It was brown.
That was probably my real hair.
Oh. Well, this challenge, Alaska's dancing is, okay.
The outline says questionable.
Someone's employment future is questionable. Wow.
No, it was. And
yeah, no, it looked like you were having a great time. Did you have fun out there?
We can talk about this. And I say many times in this episode, I can't dance. I don't know how to dance.
One, two, three, four, no ands. That's
right.
Alaska way.
But since this has happened, I've learned that dancing is, and Nick told me this, dancing is just like, it's just moving. It's like moving in a, I can't remember.
You need
like
to write this stuff down.
Counting and moving. So it's not like an innate skill that you have to have. It's kind of just like acting. So I think I was underselling myself constantly on this season because I didn't want to be the queen who was like, I'm an excellent dancer, and then look like an idiot during the challenge.
No, I love to swim and drag.
Right. I was never doing that. I was always underselling. I don't know how to dance. Oh my God, I can't sew. I can't swim.
Yes, you can. And I saw it on the bonus content. Now available at patreon.com/Willem.
Just Candace caning about.
The pool shows, the pool gigs.
I liked my look, though. I would wear that today. It was like a sparkly silver top.
No, I saw it. I wouldn't.
A statement necklace. I think it was a crown.
I love a statement.
A skinny black jean, a black boot, which
timeless.
I wear every day.
Timeless.
And sunglasses. I liked it.
Jinx busted out her secret She can do the splits.
She, girl.
She is one of those girls that just is so, oh, you wanted more talents? Oh, yeah, I could do this too.
She really is.
She can juggle with her pussy. She's amazing. Alyssa shows off her good time skills. And at the end, RuPaul's dancing with her. I'm sure she got her involved, like some little like party promoter dancer, like, get on, RuPaul.
Yeah.
They were dancing together. And honestly, this episode was great for Alyssa because it showed so much personality. Seeing her like warm up the girls in the morning and then just to stunt the other team. God. Wait, was that your team? Or were you the other
team?
They
got us together.
You were the other team. I love this episode for Alyssa. And I see why she got her own show with them because like it
definitely.
It's very like, you know, welcome to the stage.
Definitely. And this mini challenge was really fun. We were just having fun.
Yeah.
Detox looked amazing.
Detox walking. I thought D was going to win.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
She had like the amazing space sunglasses and like the blue like bodysuit.
Uh-huh.
So sickening.
You know why she didn't win, right? Jinx did the split.
Jealousy? Oh.
Yeah.
Jealousy is a killer in this industry. I'll tell you that much.
So the winners are Jinx Monsoons and Coco Montrese.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to be in charge of the teams for an original drag ballet called No RuPologies. Ding. Rue says it's the Black Swan Lake, but she didn't stutter.
Yes. And the teams break down in the following fashion. Team Coco, she picks Alyssa first, everyone face cracked.
And nobody's stupid, though. Like, Alyssa was the best dancer there. Coco's not dumb.
Exactly. Coco was so smart in that moment.
Yeah.
It puts them as rivals together, which is always what you want to do.
Mama didn't raise no fool.
Also, Detox, Honey, Roxy, and Vivian end up on Team Coco.
Team Jinx is Ivy Winters, Lanesha, Alaska, and Jade.
Yeah.
So, were you happy with your team?
I was. I mean, I got along really well with everybody. And, like, Jinx and I were really bonding.
Nice.
Jade is plucked, and I'm plucked because we have to take a break. But I'm just...
I just put a mask on to sneeze.
Thank you.
They work so well for that, too.
Thank you.
We'll be back. The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is.
With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover.
You've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore?
Something this audacious and sexy is as genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away.
Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time.
The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it?
That's tea. I don't know how I would spend my time. I'd probably get ample sleep, have ample time to sit and do nothing. I love that hobby.
Yeah.
And then time to spend with my family, my friends, my loved ones, and, you know, doing stuff that I love.
I always listen to the end of the Hamilton soundtrack, and they have that song about time, and it makes me, like, cognizant that, like, life is finite. And you should, like, try to appreciate it and then take downtime and stuff. But the best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you. And then you make that a priority no matter what.
That's right. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And one of my friends did it, and she really liked it, too.
That's right. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag.
Jade is fully we're back, by the way.
Plucking turns.
But Jade is plucking as a plenty. Jade has talked to me about her experience on the show.
Mm-hmm. How old was she? 21?
She was very young.
Baby.
And she wasn't fully herself. And I won't, it's not my business to like tell her business. Maybe we can have her on the show. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't fully like herself and wasn't in the greatest of headspaces during this show. So I think that's why her like personality is kind of volatile and she's kind of popping off at everybody. She's feeling, you know, this kind of way with people. So that's what was going on. And it continues because she and Coco are shown as like pretty close friends at the beginning of the episode. And then she gets picked last and Coco's a team captain. So she felt jilted.
Sure.
Yeah.
I do like that Jinx tells Jade, though, that, you know, she does want her there and like she's yeah. valuable. And like Jinx is like the says everything you would want a team captain to say.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just that's how it breaks down sometimes. But back to your dance training.
Mm-hmm.
Jinx asked you if you know how to crump. Do you currently know how to crump yet?
I've heard this phrase.
They did it on Top Model as a challenge. The girls went crumping for like a Skechers ad or something.
Is it just kind of like moving really rapid?
It's like imagine punching the air a lot and then hips down to the knees.
Yeah, I love doing that move.
Pussy to the floor, feet up.
That's one of my favorite moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been doing it this whole time. You didn't even know.
I've been doing it this whole podcast.
Vivian is not happy to be paired with Roxy on this challenge. And she makes no mistake of saying it.
Was this? What's going on here?
Obviously, in the interview, Vivian was saying stuff that maybe she should have been saying to Roxy if she wanted to have Roxy to know that. But I guess she didn't. Because did she ever make it clear she had a problem with Roxy in the workroom?
It didn't feel that way.
Did it permeate or?
This was a long time ago and I don't remember a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I have vast holes of memory in my brain. But
hey, there's vast holes right in this room.
Vast holes. I bet the producer in the interview chair with Vivian was just pulling it out of her like fucking saltwater.
Do you like Roxy? Taffy. Her wigs are really bad, aren't they?
Ooh, keep going.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
why
great.
Don't you like her? I don't like her either.
We'll keep you longer if you keep doing this.
Do you want more money for Del Taco? We'll give you more money. You can get a meal.
Del Taco, they should stick to making computers.
Oh, look who it is. Rue's here.
Straighten the table.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she's Mother's here. Rue gave you some great advice for the walk around.
Yes. Rue, I'm your mama. That's what I say to Rue because I'm playing her mother, Ernestine. Yeah. Rue tells us that her mother loved saying, you pussy mouth motherfucker, which is amazing.
Her mother had a mouth on her. Coco says she's going to be the good Rue, and she has on the cutest little workroom hair. You ever put on a hat just to work sometimes, just to play with it?
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes, like, thinking hair.
Yeah.
She could, like, flip it in the mirror a little bit. Huh? Look at her parted on this side.
Huh? Ooh, center part. No, side part. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. This this thing with Honey, I need some signed affidavits on who asked Honey to play Diana Ross in the past. Because if that performance is on anywhere, I would love to see.
I keep defending all the dolls because these are my sisters. These are my season five sisters.
No girl can do Diana up to Rue's snuff, though, ever.
No.
Milan.
It is a curse.
Honey.
But this is, you get tongue-tied when RuPaul comes around to your table. It's not a natural conversation. It's, now it's on.
You're performing,
RuPaul steps into the frame. And
you're performing. That's
and
what
you're
you have
performing.
To do. Make her laugh.
So Honey was like, well, yes, I've been asked to do Diana Ross, but I couldn't do it because I had other commitments. And then by that point, RuPaul is like, you're going home. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, we're going to get rid of her. No, and the other girl with the red hair. I don't know her name. She has red hair. Look her up. Oh, yeah, Vivian.
That's
what the convo is in the earpiece after.
Yes. And race chasers out there, if you want to go through all the times Diana Ross has been iterated through Drag Race history, I think it has been trouble for anyone who gets assigned.
It was like Gaga.
What?
Fifi, Kylie.
Yeah.
They haven't had good luck with Gaga.
Yeah.
Gaga did good with Gaga when she was
there. It does. It's kind of a curse to do Lady Gaga. It's definitely a curse to do Diana Ross because that's RuPaul's number one.
She's the one
diva.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did BB do Diana well?
She did.
Yeah, she was okay.
Okay.
So we retract most of what we said, but we still the shit is still mumbling. It's we're not shit talking. We're shit mumbling.
In this,
you know, unless you have a curse. Yeah.
I think there's other there's another time though that this has happened. Diana Ross on Drag Race, and it didn't go well. This definitely didn't. Maybe just
a center part frazzle wig.
Maybe just because there were two in this episode.
Did they provide
there's
her with
two
that
Diana
wig?
Rosses?
Oh yeah.
There's young Diana and later Diana.
Yeah.
And neither one of them really went.
Oh, I thought Lanesha was great. She had that Diana shoulder, like the little turn in. Lanesha looked great.
They were giving her shade for not knowing who the fuck Diana Ross
was.
She ended up doing
But she ended up looking beautiful. And, you know, in the end, that's all that really matters. But she shouldn't have admitted that she didn't know. I don't know.
Then we go in. Oh, wait. The, okay. Team Coco. AKA Team Alyssa pulls the stunt. She's like, come over here, baby. We're going to do a dance rehearsal in the workroom for when they come back. They were trying to get in our heads. And they show her. She's like, okay, now we're on. Here they come. 1 and 5 and 7 and a yes. They got us.
Yeah, were you?
She got us.
Uh-huh. Is that when you knew you were going to lose?
We were like, oh. And Ivy's like, real fancy, ladies.
Ivy was great, I thought. This rehearsal with Travis Wall and Nick Lazzarini, how many times did they show you a combination before they said, okay, now you do it? Because it seemed like everybody got like one and then they were expected to like, you know, have it off book.
It's always hard, but it's harder now.
Yeah.
They're way harder on the girls now.
Why don't the girls just say, slow the fuck down. Slow down, you faggot. Slow down. We know it's for TV, but we have to learn it. Slow down, faggot. You don't even have heels on. I'd love someone to say that to Todrick. I'll text him right now, actually. I love her, but like, you know, these faggots. How dare they?
It's making a TV show. This is the stress test on restaurant takeover, restaurant rescue, bar rescue.
You know what you get when you put bread on your ears?
What?
An idiot sandwich. I saw that on a restaurant show. That was good. The guy made a woman do that. I was like, this is terrible.
It's demeaning and awful.
Yeah, I wanted to use it.
yes, this is the stress test.
What
it's
if
not
she had a gluten
sensitivity?
Well. No, sorry.
You're supposed to all look like idiots who can't dance and it's going to be a disaster. And then the show turns out great because you rehearse all night
off camera. I mean, you looked great on throwing that baby through the air.
I thought so, too.
You can only do the Macarena, it says. No electric slide.
Again, underselling my abilities. But I mean, by this point, I had gone to college. Like, I had done musicals.
You majored in musical theater, right?
It wasn't musical theater, but it was theater arts.
Okay.
But I had moved in choreographed ways.
Mm-hmm.
But dancing was never my, like, comfort zone.
You were a mover, but was the audience shaken?
They were shaken. Like me as a baby.
Alyssa and Coco, this lift in the rehearsal,
the
learning curve, they gave them the hardest stuff, obviously. Like, they weren't trying to make...
They pushed them.
Yeah, and it shows. Vivian is being told that she's the weakest pair. Did they tell the girls that? Or... Nick and Travis say they're the weakest pair. But is that their interview?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. And Honey and Detox are not meshing together.
With Honey, they established during the dance routine, the mini challenge that she couldn't dance. And then Jinx said she danced like a white girl. And then that's what Jake thinks. And then during this, it seems her mobility is limited to a rhythm which may not be the music.
Right.
She's my friend. So Yeah, this is not doing her any favors.
That was hard. The honey and detox move was really hard.
It was six steps. Nick and Travis told us.
The sort of high lifting your knee and crossing them over. That shit's hard. I'm glad I didn't get that shit. My choreography was literally give birth to a baby, run over to that side, run over to that side, hold the baby up, done.
They loved you from the start because you pooped the baby out at the get. And it was, you had started with the joke.
Yeah.
Loved it. Now, the next day, the girls walk into the room. Rolaska talks, motherfucker. You're almost done with Rolaska talks. I think you're on TO this time. And then you hold the X.
Yeah. I think I was on La LA.
Oh. Repping for the LA girls. Okay.
Yeah.
WeHo girl.
Because I wanted to be ambiguous. Like, sometimes it was like the, sometimes it was LA, sometimes, and then it was ska.
Mm-hmm. When did someone realize what you were doing?
I don't think anyone ever
Not did. Even production?
I don't know. But they were nice enough to show it in every episode so that people have done a composition that spells it out.
Oh, the Rolaska Talk fantasy.
And then,
wow.
How lucky is this, though?
That you made it so many episodes.
When I stopped wearing it, when I stopped the message, that's when we like officially broke up Rolaska Talks on the episode. So
producing.
It was like the Rolaska Talks fantasy is over.
Over. Huh. You had it and it's not available anymore in stores. But the little pound cake doll currently is.
It is on AlaskaThunderfuck.com.
Perfect for the Thanksgiving season, the Christmas season. Valentine's is coming up.
Yeah, the holiday season is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Stocking stuffers.
President's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next day in this little mirror chat, Honey's talking about how her parents sent her to Africa when they found out she did drag. And that's where she got all that caftan fabric.
Oh.
Imported fabrics. Fine imported woolens and silks. Sequins.
Yeah. I mean, that's unreal, dude. Yeah. Can you? I mean, you know, some people have a really bad experience when it comes to like coming out. When it comes to coming out once as like gay is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to come out again as drag, mm-hmm. or a lot of us do.
Uh-huh, when the trade finds the pub.
I mean, and that's almost harder because I know for my parents, it was like, okay, we've accepted and like absorbed the fact that little Justin is queer.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Then it's like, oh, but I also like put on fucking insane makeup and like fucking underwear and then high heels and run around West Hollywood.
Yeah, we did that for bonus content. Fist. That,
but like my family did not understand what I was doing. Like they didn't understand what drag was until they saw me on Drag Race. And then they were like, okay, we get that this is a thing.
Okay.
They just thought I was like, I don't know, on drugs and being a hooker, which
they knew.
I was.
Coco is talking about making peace with Jade about picking teams, but it's not really happening, and they keep showing the clip package of like Jade walking by giving Nooch, saying there's nothing to talk about, no, we're good.
Yeah, Coco tries to extend the olive branch, yeah. Or at least open the conversation, and Jade's like, I don't know, no, everything's fine.
Coco's
no,
a good person.
I'm happy on my team and you're happy on your team, so
just concentrating on the challenge,
just concentrating on being here.
Mm-hmm. Damn. We're gonna take a break because we have to talk about Alyssa in the mirror.
I
after
need to
this.
Get up in this gig,
mom.
I need to get up in this gig. We'll be right back.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah, and under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Yes. Oh, I love making the faces in the mirror. I just love making the faces.
Have I told the story of the first time meeting Alyssa Edwards at S4 with Miss Calexis Davenport?
Ding!
I really? Okay, this is the first time I ever met her. Special guest at S4 after Ticked Off Grannies with Knives was like around. And so they're like, Alyssa's here, blah, blah, blah. She's amazing. I was like, okay, I'd love to meet her, blah, blah, blah. This was probably, this was between my season and her season. She might have taped or she might not have taped yet.
Fresh off the race.
Yeah. You know, so, summer camp secrets.
Rumors.
So we switched music, and literally when I said I would do it, she'd been there like two and a half hours, just stretching in everybody's mirror, foot up on the thing, like, oh, Miss Willem, come look at this. What? I just wanted you to see. Like that kind of thing. Like, come look at me in her mirror. And then she wasn't ready to go on. And I switched. She's like, Miss Willem, you saved my life. And I was like, we have just met. You are dramatic. Like, she wasn't ready. So we switched because we were both guests that evening. And it was just so funny. So from the start, even before she was on TV, she was a star. Like, the same kind of thing that, like, you know, I treat myself away. She treats herself away.
Yeah.
And she was. And it was never like malicious or like bitchy or better than anybody. It was just like, that's what she was. She was Alyssa.
Yeah.
She was a secret then.
I cannot, you telling that story, that is the story that gets told more often than I think, like, the crucifixion or the Bible, is Alyssa's not ready and someone has to switch places with her in the lineup. This happened every time we did a cast show of, like, the season 5 girls, and it was always, every time. When the doll is ready, the doll will take the stage.
Yeah. And the Duchess might be there too.
Trust
the Duchess.
The Duchess.
Uh-huh.
When they told us to, in the interview chair, they were like, okay, do the Alyssa face. Do the, like, face that she does in the mirror. I was like, what are you talking about? Because I wasn't paying attention to her. Uh-huh. But the producer showed me what to do, and so I did it.
They were...
Wow. But it has become, you know, I wasn't watching the camera through the mirror. I didn't fucking know what she was doing down there.
I was doing the season 5 interviews for Logo, and they told me specifically get everyone to impersonate Alyssa for the Logo B-roll camera.
Hey.
Yeah. And we all
when
did
it's good, it's good.
Yeah. My makeup wasn't good that night, so don't look it up. I was so pale and in a denim turtleneck. The dress was cute, but it was not the right size.
Denim turtleneck.
Girl, I was in drag up to my Adam's apple, and that never happens to me. And covered shoulder.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Were you okay?
I was unwell.
Were you going through something?
Unwell. It was New York. People were going through me. I wasn't going through something.
Oh, wow.
But I'm going through something for this runway look that Rue's doing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, this red ruffle, black organza opera.
Deep salute.
Very,
deep
very.
Ooh, salute.
Partially pulled back hair with a jet and graphite earring and barrette.
Best little drag race in Texas.
Oh, so good. Ruffles on ruffles on ruffles.
So fabulous. Very, very lovely.
Now, why didn't they let Nick Lazzarini do a judge thing, but they let Travis?
They said Nick kick rocks.
They said Nick.
I mean, they really did. I think Nick was there to assist Travis. Yeah.
Got it. Now, this main stage performance of No Rupologies.
Wait, what about Chaz Bono?
Oh.
Chaz Bono is on the judging panel.
He came out of Cher's vagina.
Let it be known.
You told the world.
That made me laugh out loud rewatching that. That was funny.
Yeah, you're funny on this.
Yeah, she's funny. Then we get to watch No Rupologies, an American dance odyssey based on the life and times of RuPaul Andre Charles, otherwise known as the greatest story ever told. That made me LOL too, because that's the Bible, isn't it?
I think, yeah.
RuPaul's like, my life story is pretty much on par with Jesus Christ.
No wonder her and Alyssa identify with each other. Yeah.
They're pretty much the same. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying...
We're not saying that's a bad thing at all.
I'm not saying they're identical, but they are definitely similar.
Uh-uh. So gorgeous.
Okay, so we're going to talk through this ballet.
It opens with a young ingenue.
Alaska, we were watching this with Gabe's mom, and she didn't know that was me.
Well,
I was very much in disguise. I did sort of like a...
You got the guys part, right?
Right. This dress is fabulous, though. I think
did they provide wigs and dresses for you guys?
No, this ballet was... Shoes? I brought this. I think the apron they provided, I think the glasses. Maybe I remember styling the hair.
It's very the Lily Tomlin character, Edith Ann.
Very that.
Yeah. Which makes sense. But you started with a joke, started strong.
Yeah, it was all about face and character. Not a lot of dancing. Also, let's talk about the shoes. Can we talk about
everybody's in ballet
slippers, which is not elegant if you're not on point. So, but at least we all got to wear flats.
Okay.
This is weird. Linaysha and Jade, this is strange.
Jade look is borderline.
Is Jade?
The Jade look. I'm offended.
Jade looks like Black Annie.
Right.
This wig that they gave her to wear. Jade did not bring that wig from home.
Of course not.
Jade was told to wear that wig, and I don't know if she would make that same decision nowadays. Jinx has a sew-in and some braids. She's playing like a Boy George type of something, but her
gender F word.
Gender fuck.
Yeah. Gender F word.
Ivy and Jinx are doing all the spins,
turning it.
They're a comp. It's like Manila, or not Manila. When Shangela and Alexis were the twins, and they just played off each other so well. This is another one of that. Everybody's great in this part. Jinx and Ivy kill it.
Spotting their turns. I love when people do Lady Bunny. I mean, it's so iconic. It's such an easily replicatable look.
It's like Goldie Hawn on steroids and crack.
Totally.
Just that and little spot of your face. That's all that shows. And then hair.
Yeah.
Now, act two is Coco and Alyssa. Team Coco.
Yes.
You guys performed great for act one.
Good for you, Team Glenn Coco. Alyssa from the moment it starts is giving intense face. Alyssa also said, baby, I'm not wearing those ballet shoes. And she does it barefoot, which I think helps her maneuver.
Grip the stage and stuff. I started doing barefoot at a club in Ireland on the stage. And I was like, somebody needs to get her shoes right by the edge of the stage.
Yeah. This is a great moment, though. I mean, Coco and Alyssa are just, I mean, they're lifting each other. They're throwing...
Just the contrast with the colors, too. The black feathers, white feathers.
Yes.
Black girl, white girl. Like, it's striking. It looks like a Mapplethorpe photo.
Yeah.
Gorge.
And Black Swan, the film, had been out at this point, right? I mean, it was a huge hit. So that was an iconic moment.
Yeah.
They show that Alyssa lifting her head up in all the, like, super teasers. The Rumple teasers.
This detox choreo...
What's going on?
It's walk, 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 step. Go to there.
Why does that dress not read RuPaul to me, the detox dress?
Because Ru doesn't usually do a blousey sleeve, I don't think.
No, I mean, on rare occasions.
Yeah, the silhouette doesn't feel as Ru as it could.
Right.
But I don't know. I think Dee's doing her best to dance in it. And like, how many gowns can you dance in?
Exactly.
So she
and
the hair's
honey,
great. The hair's big.
Honey is wearing a sparkly kind of
caftan,
mid-length dress, and it's Diana Ross-ish hair.
Yeah, I like that Roxy is replicating RuPaul's look from season 4, but as a dance costume, basically.
Yes,
it's the thing that Princess. It was the episode with This Will Be.
Yeah.
It was that. And then...
Yeah, the silver Kylie Minogue head.
And there's a picture of it in the workroom, too.
Yeah. And Vivian Panay is saddled with the role of America's Next Drag Superstar, which it's hard to...
In case you...
I think we were like, why didn't she do Sharon? I mean, Sharon just won Drag Race. That would have
been a good idea.
So easily replicatable. And she kind of just did like this like pageant girl.
Did anybody suggest that?
I don't know. Oh. I feel like I might have. I don't know.
Well, don't if you're things. Unsure how to feel about Vivian's performance, just watch the judges' cutaways where they're cracking their necks and grimacing.
They're opening foil candy.
Yeah. Travis is not pleased. I don't think she nailed the choreo necessarily. And
they were much displeased.
Roxy was smizing so hard with her eyes that she was shaking at the end and impersonating RuPaul.
And Travis Wall was frizing, which is frowning with your eyes. No, I'm just kidding.
And then you pop yourself out and give a little button on the scene.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was cute.
Yeah.
How many times did you do it?
Probably twice. I think that's usually what they do, is they let you do it twice, and that's that.
I love that you say probably, but you were there. You just don't remember.
Girl,
there's a lot. Yeah, no, I get it. So some of the girls were deemed safe. And I want to know first, what was the runway category too, by the way? It seemed like it was just like best drag or like night on the town or something. What was it?
Let me tell you why I'm mad about this.
Because you were in a totally different outfit than everybody else. You're like, you kind of look like...
I think it was like rich...
Laquifa's associate of some sort.
I think it was like... well,
but earlier they had said something like befitting going to the ballet, but they didn't give it a real category.
At the ballet, at the ballet, at the ballet. Yeah, I have no idea what the
Vivian's
fuck
an usher at the ballet. She's just in black. Little scoochy lace number, blazer. Who wears first a blazer all, on the runway?
First of all.
Who wears a blazer on the runway?
First of all, everyone hates a fast runway. We hate fast runways.
Hate it.
When they just cut it fast. It's like it throws off the whole heartbeat of the show, because the like center tent pole of the whole episode is the runway presentation.
We need time to talk shit about the girls too, like, oh, where's she going in that shoe?
We need the clever quips from the judges. We need the like fashion show. It's like the intermission, and then we have the drama of the end. So it automatically, I hate a short runway. Also, they don't tell you as a contestant, today's gonna be a fast runway, so just don't care about it. I had yes, my look is insane, but it might have made more sense if they showed the back of my outfit, which had a giant red paint X on it. And never once in the whole episode did they show the back of my outfit.
What was the X for? Detox?
No, it was like I was wearing all this fur, and it was like I got attacked by PETA.
Oh, yeah, none of it was real, though, right?
The hat was.
Oh.
Shady, bitch.
You got fur down there too, bitch? I'm sorry about that. I'm glad I know the category now. And what a statement.
The look overall is a little...
Girl, they read gutterella. You in Untucked for it. Listen.
It's a little... We'll get to Untucked. But you know what? At least it had a point of view. At least it was like trying to tell a story.
Yeah, it looked like you were standing on a trash can. The shoe? Ooh, when Detox's nail went up, she went... But you were deemed safe by RuPaul and the judges, along with Jade, Detox, Lanesha, and Coco, which is when they read you for said outfit back in the Gold Lounge.
Right.
The judges' critiques. This is one of the ones that were the famous every season a girl gets. We need to see glamour, and this time Michelle is giving it to Jinx because she hasn't seen glamour yet.
Jinx has been doing kind of like characters, like this time she was like a space alien woman. Yeah. They're like, we just want to see glamour. Can you do glamour?
You will never be glamour.
You will never be glamour. No, no, no.
Ivy.
If I wanted to get a sugar daddy, I could get a sugar daddy. But you could never get a sugar daddy because you're not that kind of girl. Mm-hmm. You will never be glamour.
Ivy's glamour.
Ivy's outfit. To shortchange this with a quick runway? Yeah. How dare? It was exquisite. A recreation.
All handmade.
Oh,
and her face, even heaven. Better than the actress who played her.
It was like, heaven.
Ivy's so beautiful. Michelle thought Ivy was great as a lady bunny, too.
Yeah.
Roxy is told by Santino that the proportions of the waist and hip of her dress don't make her look as curvy as she should. He knows everything about everything, so I'm glad he's telling her that.
Right. Not everyone can wear a dress with that cutout, and I thought she looked fucking sickening.
I think she looked gorge.
And the dress is exquisite.
Yeah, of course it is.
And they also read her for wearing a leotard. They were like, RuPaul never wears leotards. If you're going to be RuPaul, you shouldn't wear a leotard. It's like, it's a fucking ballet, dude. Like, you want to wear a column gown? Is that what you want?
Can you move in it? No, that was perfect. That was RuPaul at the ballet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Moving on. Vivian, they say you're fading into the background. You're beautiful, but your performance was forgettable.
Foreshadowing provided by Paulina Porizkova.
From the Foreshadowing.
This is the third time's a charm with the honey, because this is the third time she wears this caftan, and this is where they do the side by side of the three calf,
the triplicate split screen. Yeah. Yes,
girl, they got her on this, and she. I like wind in the hair as much as anybody, but like, does she wear caftans because she likes the wind in it and she likes to feel the fabric and the moving? Like, did anyone ever ask her why she always covers up so much?
I wouldn't mind asking her. And I mean, because she looked great every time. I think they just wanted a variety, more of a variety. But now we have conversations about like modest fashion and, you know, like, so not everything has to be like a skin tight fuck suit. I don't think. I think that there is something to say for like, if you prefer like a shapeless kind of flowy thing, if that's your thing.
Fuck Lady Bunny.
Go off. Yeah. Right. Quesadilla.
Exactly.
You know.
Alyssa, they loved her look, her dance performance. She was a complete slay this week. And at this point, Rue is asking the girls who should go home tonight.
Yeah.
And everybody says either Vivian or Honey, but then Alyssa says, no, the person I would like to send home is not up here.
She's not on the stage tonight. I think it would be Jade. I think she is just a little hokey pokey.
Not at the level of everybody else.
Not the hand.
Meanwhile, she's wearing an outfit that she wore to walk in the workroom.
Oh, Alyssa.
That gold thing?
She did.
That was her workroom walk-in.
She's the Tootsie Lou. I'm reusing
and
it.
She's calling Jade.
Alyssa
Hokey
didn't
Hokey?
Have any clothes this season.
She's also wearing a tiny top hat.
A tiny top hat. Did you see?
Who is it? Raja has a trigger.
She hates
with,
tiny
with
top
hat. Tiny top hat.
Girl.
She hates it.
Yeah. There's an episode of a YouTube where Alyssa comes over here to borrow something. Then she tries to buy something. And I'm like, all right, $20. Then she leaves with it. She never gave me the money. I had to chase across the street. So like Alyssa.
Maybe how much you want for
Alyssa
this?
Alyssa is a borrower,
I'll get
a puller.
You that money. Thank you so much.
I watched her talk something off Laganja. Like, you don't need that for that. No, no, no. Let me see that, baby. And then she was wearing it for the performance. Alyssa Edwards. Which we love. But
Alyssa Edwards is iconic.
Iconic.
And now, I mean, nowadays you just see her in the most exquisite drag things. The hair, the clothes.
Takes like, a village.
The costume. She really is fantastic. At this time, Alyssa had pretty much quit drag. She wasn't doing drag. She was focusing on the dance school.
Yeah.
And then Drag Race came along. So she didn't have shit for clothes. Mm-hmm. She barely had enough clothes to get through this season.
Which, I mean, she lives in Dallas, Texas, and I'm pretty sure there's a couple drag queens there she could have borrowed from.
Girl.
I mean, she just could have, you know, belted collections and stuff.
She was re-wearing the fucking workroom entrance outfit.
And wig. Didn't even switch up the hair. She added the top hat. She had a different hat
this
on.
This is totally different. They won't even recognize
no,
it.
No, I turned it around.
I went swimming. She went swimming in this.
Well, at least it was clean. We know that. we're going to take a break.
She came from Seattle with a dress and a dream.
The sleeper fan favorite and champion of season 5. Jinx Monsoon.
Here to take us on a journey with her opinions, memories, and thoughts on season 5.
Let's find out what Jinx thinks.
Right before I did Drag Race, I had gotten like the best job I had ever had at that point in drag. And I was hosting this celebrity impersonation show. We had a barn light that was our spotlight. So it would completely wash me out because I was so goddamn pale. And like before this job, I did my makeup, you know, just like slap on some smoky eyeshadow and some red lips. And that's all I needed, you know. And if you look at pictures of baby me, it's like it's not drag makeup. It's like suburban housewife on her once a year day, like her one night a year where she goes out to the bar.
I'm sure vintage drag queens on Instagram will find something and put it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
with great haste.
So at this show I was working at right before Drag Race, their suggestion for being more glamorous under their barn light was to just add more and more contour. We were all encouraged to paint ourselves. We were using like maroons for cheek cutting and like dark eggplant to like contour our faces.
Mayhem used to have a burgundy contour for sure.
Yeah. And it was just, you know, it was the circumstances of our show. So that was what was told to me is like how to become a more glamorous drag queen. So when the judges kept saying glamour, 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 the only thing my brain could think to do was pile on more contour.
And what did Michelle call it? The Nike swoop?
I think Roxy called it that, the Nike swoosh. I had definitely heard the Nike swoosh before. And I had never, ever done the Nike swoosh before Drag Race. That's the crazy thing, is it wasn't even like a thing I did in my makeup. It was something I adapted as a
coping mechanism.
A swipe at trying to be glamorous in the terms I was understanding them in.
Go on Drag Race and experiment with your look. Great idea.
Literally, we didn't know. It was the early Wild West of season 5 Drag Race. We didn't know that you were just supposed to have a look and stick to it.
Honestly, and I think I'm partly to blame, maybe, because every season up to then had that picture with where Matthew pulls you aside and you have the talk about your face and you have an 8x10 or the iPad with your full picture. He'll show you where he thinks you could change your stuff for the stage lighting, what you should warm up and everything. It was great. I know season 3 had it, season 4 had it, but then season 5 got all their privileges taken away because, you know, their regulatory issues and rules broken. But like,
who was responsible for that?
I don't know. I still say it was Jiggly. She had a phone.
Oh my God. She's a little hokey pokey.
Hokey pokey.
That's always Jinx in my Alyssa impression. It is a little too hokey pokey. Holly Hobby, Hobby Lobby.
Holly Hobby was the best in drag.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
Alyssa Edwards, not surprisingly, is the winner of this week's challenge. She wins a custom feather piece from Mother Plucker, friends mm-hmm. of the pod. I love
yes,
Mother Plucker.
Yes, love her, great. And immunity.
Immunity.
Did they have immunity last episode? We thought that was
they
the last one.
They skip around with that, don't they?
Well, let's give it to her. Because
they want her to stay
around
like,
the next
for
challenge snatchels. The next challenge is a reading challenge. So.
Snatchems.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the bottom two for this one are Honey and Vivian.
Yeah.
Roxy thinks she might be, but she isn't. And the song is Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears.
Yeah, the Roxy thing. It was like, we're letting you off with a warning. When you end up in the bottom three and they still kind of like
get
scare
cunty.
You. Yeah. That happened to me a few times in my life.
Is this song choice about Honey wearing another caftan?
Oh, maybe it is.
I mean,
the song is Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears.
And none of them did signature choreo that was easily recognizable from VMAs or like the you don't know that making the video Oops, I Did It Again?
Of course.
Like none of them did even one move reminiscent of the pussy down. Ooh, I did it again. Nothing. Yeah. None of it was there. It didn't seem like there was passion or fire. And I don't know, like, you know, you need to give a girl a drink before a lipstick or a shot. I think they should at least offer the girl some alcohol or like a bump. Like, what the fuck? We're drag queens.
Yeah. And I've said before, standing at the back of the stage,
someone put a cup on the front of the stage or something, or a drunk girl.
Right.
Like, let it be a fair playing ground.
Standing at the back of the stage, we could always tell who was going to win the lip sync.
Who did you think on this one?
We didn't know.
Oh, wow.
We couldn't decide. Because RuPaul goes behind the curtain for 20 minutes and like
20?
Looks over the footage.
It was 20?
It's a while.
Oh, wow.
After the lip sync, RuPaul disappears behind a curtain for some time and looks. This was a very long time. And we were like, we didn't know who. There was no clear standout winner of this lip sync. So we didn't know what was going to happen.
Where was everybody? Still on stage?
Yeah. You just kind of stand down at the back of the stage and shout reads at Michelle. talk shit at Michelle Visage.
There was a clip during the lip sync, it looks like from the first day, when they were like saying, Honey, explain yourself, what do you do? And Honey says, I'm a live singer and I have this competition in the bag. I'm a live singer, performer, like, she, you know, it's that clip, and it seems like it's coming back to bite her in the ass at this point. And they're both sent home. RuPaul comes out. How did that work? Shocked. Were you gagged?
We were all really, really shocked.
Have they done a double elimination before?
No. This was the first one.
And like after my elimination, this was probably the weirdest elimination, other than Chanel, maybe.
Right. I mean, very memorable, very iconic. And like I feel for the girls, for Honey and Vivian, because
Vivian's face did not crack, but Honey was shocked.
She was just like, fine, bye. She like waves at the judges like, bye.
No more caftans for you.
Like, that sucks. It's the worst way to exit the competition, I think.
Yeah, I didn't see, like, you know, the Wikipedia doesn't really know who's seventh or eighth at this point.
Right.
You know, so confusing.
Yeah.
Trying times.
So wait, if you had to choose a winner of that lip sync, who would you say?
The end credits.
Because
they gave a sweet, sweet relief. Yeah, it just wasn't a good song. It wasn't a good, sorry, the song is great. I love the song. It wasn't a good performance for me.
Yeah, there's so much culture around that song and so much like camp around that song that you could have.
But I thought the old lady dropped it in the ocean at the end.
Right.
Well, baby, I went down and got it for you, like pulling out a dick or something, or some balls, you know?
You could have done something.
I would have loved to have that song if I was lip syncing instead of fucking Destiny turning on a fucking dime.
Destiny turns on a
Okay, so do you remember the gag and who you were next to?
Oh, Dipper's flipping the coin, the destiny that
this table
turns upon that dime. You're not a mother! Prostitution whores!
Do you remember who you were standing next to, and did you turn to them and do the, oh my God, girl?
We did. We were all gagged. I don't remember who I was standing next to, we were all gagged. Really, really. So what happened in Untucked? Did you watch Untucked, Willem?
I've been getting dog walked for not watching Untucked and not doing my job by my coworkers, friends, fans, family. So I decided to watch Untucked so I could get the real tea behind things and really see why the girls were cutting eyes and things.
If you're not watching Untucked,
you're only getting
half the story.
The Quips are doing this.
Good night, Mrs. Arden.
The tea was, nobody liked your outfit. They didn't like your shoe. It brought up first that Coco says, that shoe, Miss Alaska. And then you said, I think that's very rude.
This is, well, I mean, the conversation was chopped to hell. I didn't say.
Was that about that?
Let's break it down.
Let's break it down for them, sweetie.
No.
Before you want to read.
First of all, Linatia read me to the dirt for my shoes because I didn't have leopard print shoes, but I wanted everything to be like animal print. Mm-hmm. So I took leopard print duct tape and covered my promo shoes, which had been covered in gold duct tape. These are my duct tape shoes. Every girl has a pair of duct tape shoes, don't they? So I covered them in leopard print duct tape so that I would have shoes corresponding to my outfit. And
Linatia
was like, in Puerto Rico, people would say, this is not good. This is not good drag. And I was like, well, good thing I live in Pittsburgh and not in Puerto Rico because, you know, we do what we can in fucking Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
With our gutter bucket ass drag. Then Coco is like, what's going on with this? And then it cuts to me going, very rude, I would say, and no laughter or anything. I did not respond.
It didn't seem like it was like placed there in the
They also show me talking about Coco's look and saying she looked like she was at Hamburger Mary's after a couple of margaritas. But I was not talking about that runway look because she looked gorgeous in that runway look.
Yeah, that was not a Hamburger Mary's look. You don't wear a gown to Mary's because you get fry grease on the floor on your train.
I can only imagine that I was talking about like one of Coco's like mini challenges or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, they spliced and diced you, gal.
But that's a TV show. It made for a very interesting exchange. And, you know, my look was a little hairy.
Oh, no. It was Holly Podgy, Hokey Nopey.
The red paint on the back. I swear it made it make sense.
Yeah. I love that. It's very Hedwig. You did get a sweet message from Sharon in this one.
Oh,
and Sharon was doing her Sharon voice to the nth degree.
Yeah, it was a little higher back then.
A lot, yeah. Hardcore Sharon.
Yeah.
And was that coffin actually in your home?
No, she went to a mortuary to film this.
What a bright spot of sunshine.
She's doing the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it was nice to see a heavily produced piece of footage from my then partner.
Yeah, nice is that Randy survived when he fell out of the back of that hearse. That's what's nice. Hey, Sharon. Love you. This is also the point in Untucked where Honey delivers the famous line that made San Francisco enrage at her. The look isn't that important in San Fran. Like that.
Ooh, I'm sure that was part of a further statement.
I mean,
I'm sure she was saying, like, in San Francisco, it's more about what you do on stage, not about, like, how perfect your outfit is or how many rhinestones. And I agree with that. Like, when I think of San Francisco drag, I think of The Stud. I think of Midnight Mass,
Mother.
Right. Which is more about, like, telling a story and being covered in blood and making people laugh and,
making,
like,
the next girl fall. Yeah, pomegranate. I still remember. I don't know your name, but Mother, you put pomegranates all over the goddamn place, bitch. Pomegranate.
In San Francisco, the most important thing is that you make a mess on stage for the next girl.
Fist, letting girls fist on stage. Like, right. Jesus. That's why Jackie left. She didn't want to slip on the lube that night. Everybody's kind of ganging up on Jade.
And right. Everyone is a little bit coming for Jade. And, you know, I mean,
she had a rough episode.
She did.
Her friends didn't pick her.
Her friends didn't pick her. And then Alyssa's calling her out when she's not even up for elimination. She's calling her out as the person who should go home. I mean, it's a rough episode for Jade. So I can understand that she would feel very attacked right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Race Chaser Classic this week. I'm not Jade. I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And we'd love for you to write a little review of our little podcast.
Just a little one.
Podcast Am. And don't forget to subscribe. Take a moment and leave a rating too. The one with the 5 stars.
That's right.
That's
you can also follow the Dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. Our Race Chaser account is at Race Chaser Pod on Instagram.
We also have bonus content available at patreon.com/Willem, and it's pay to play. So just choose a video you like and leave the coins on the dress and hit the space bar. Mm-hmm. You can search for Race Chaser content by searching the hashtag Race Chaser.
Yes, and email us at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
And wear a mask, wash your hands, socially distance yourself, and respect each other out in the world.
Yes, and Black lives continue to matter every single day. And because our leaders in government don't always agree with that, make a voting plan now. How will you ensure your voice gets heard by November 3rd?
We have Linktree stuff on our Instagram about voting registration information, so hit that if you like. Ooh, and maybe DM us a little something.
You need to hit it. There's a button in our Linktree, so you need to hit
it. Hit it.
Because this vote is important, baby.
And if you don't have a mail-in ballot, I don't have time for you.
You need to hit it.
Because my ballot is important.
Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, and audio clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.